greet you in the name of Jesus this morning. I could very well identify with Titus' testimony of being dry. This week, I don't know why, but I felt so dry spiritually. And I'm not sure how I could with all the rain, but that's the way I felt. And during the week, this past week, the Lord was working in my life, reminding me that I need to be more thankful. And probably what started this off was our weather. It was so wet and so muddy, and yeah, it's just every day it rains and we get more mud, and the mud gets deeper and just keeps being wet. So I'd have a little quiz for our young children, to the first and second graders, or even the preschoolers. Who controls the rain? God does. Are you sure? Yeah, I think so. Do you know that some people blame Trump for the rain? Yes, they do. But Trump has absolutely no power over the rain or the weather, the nice weather, the bad weather, the any kind of weather we get. Now, when God does control the rain, the water, has he forgotten how much we got? Did God forget how much rain we got the last while? Anyone? Of course not. I'm not sure, was it Thursday or Friday? Friday. I was at the bank, and Steve Turner told me that if it rains as much as they're predicting, Friday night and Saturday will have an all-time record for the rain in February here in Arkansas. Does God know when enough is enough? I think he does. Now, in your mind, I don't want you necessarily, you don't have to if you don't want to, but how many of you have in your mind kind of grumbled about the weather this past week? I know I have. And we were wondering, God, why some more rain? You know, we are creatures that soon aren't happy or satisfied if it's too wet, or it can go to the other side and it's too dry, it's too cold, and pretty soon it's going to be too hot, too humid, it's going to be too windy, not windy enough. There's going to be storms. There's going to be lack of storms. You know, we like the weather just right. And my just right may not be yours, but I'll just tell you what my just right is. It's about in the mid-50s during the night and about the low to mid-70s in the day. Beautiful weather. Rain at night, beautiful sunshine in the day. That's perfect. Now, some of you may like it a little hotter. Some may not so hot. But, you know, the other thing we sometimes think about, it'd be so nice not to have to run the air conditioner so long in the summertime, which that goes along with not being so hot. Or, you know, if we burn gas or have electric heat, it'd be so nice we wouldn't have to have so much heat. You know, we like enough rain to keep the grass green and the crops growing, but we don't want too much that it drowns it out or causes mud. So aren't you glad that God controls the weather? That God controls the rain, that he controls the sunshine. He knows exactly what we want and need. A question, how do you respond when somebody says, it's been so wet lately, and you are supposed to somehow bring this thing back to God and give honor and glory to God? How do you respond? What do you say to those people, especially outside the community, not within the church? What do you say to those people? Anyone? I mean, to me, well, God knows what we need. I mean, to me, that just sounds kind of lame. Maybe it's okay. I don't know. But what do you say? What do you say to people when they just complain about the weather? So wet, it's so dry, it's so hot, it's so cold. What do you say?
I've heard it said that somebody said, kind of joke, that nice weather for the ducks. I just say, once it gets warm, we're going to be fussing too, so I don't accept it.
I guess I'm just lame. I just say that the Lord knows what we need.
Well, there was two instances in this WhatsApp status. There was two pictures posted or two things posted this week by different people from kind of opposite ends of the world, not world, but of the spectrum of cold and maybe not so cold, cold and wet. And one of them said this, and I know that they were thinking about the weather. They were not necessarily complaining, but they were thinking about the weather. And they said this: if you can find joy in snow, you will have more joy in your life. If you can't find joy in snow, you will have a lot less joy, but the same amount of snow. How true. How true. The other one was a picture of a man covered with mud from top to bottom. Just mud, 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 all the way down. It just showed him down to about the waist. But you could see he was covered with mud. And the saying on the picture was this: when people ask me, you have a farm? What kind of farm you got? And he said, mud. I got a mud farm. And that, you know, that's the life that we are having right now, is cold or mud. Yesterday I was talking to a lady and she made this remark: this weather is terrible. Really? I hear the same thing when it's so hot, when it's dry. You know, and I found myself having grumbling thoughts about mud. I mean, mud. Mud on the job. Just, it sticks to your feet. It just sticks to your ladder. You get it on your hands. You get it everywhere. There's mud. You can't get away from mud. You know, here a couple weeks ago, I went out back to feed the cows and... oh, I thought it was extra muddy because I was just, I am so sick of mud. And the mud was, I don't know how deep it was, but it was muddy. How thankful are you this morning? How thankful people are you this morning? How thankful am I? You know, praise God that he is in control. He controls the rain. He's in charge. He controls the snow, the heat, the cold, the earthquakes, the tornadoes, the thunderstorms. He controls the hail, the wind, the drought. And the best part is nobody can take him to court and sue him for this because he is God. Matthew 6 says, the Bible says, in Matthew 6, the Lord lets it rain on the just and on the unjust. There is no favoritism with him. So this morning, I'd like to do a little quiz. What are you thankful for this morning? What are you thankful for this morning? I think I'm just going to write them up on the board. Just to rivet into our minds what you are thankful for. And excuse me if I write something and maybe not spell it right. Because I have that tendency. So what are you thankful for? God is sovereign. I have a problem with the sovereign. Is that right? That don't look right. How do you spell it? Huh?
We know what it means.
All right.
The grace of God.
Anything else?
Sunshine.
February rains bring March flowers, right? Flowers.
Thank you.
safety.
Thanking God for safety in storms or whatever.
How about, can we say we're thankful for you, for the preachers that share His word?
Power of God to live above sin.
Can we write that in a couple words?
God's
provision.
The goal is to connect with God in prayer. I guess you could say prayer. Just as we were, Timothy and I went to Indiana this week, and we were, I guess, extra conscious of low, short rubber on our tires, and I tried to get some tires before I left. So we were praying to find some soon on our trip so we wouldn't have to travel very far. Timothy just recently had an accident for those who might not know, and it was, he had nearly bald tires, and we didn't realize how low we were anyway. So God answered that prayer. It might not seem like a big thing, but it was a concern to us.
We had safety here, safety travels. I'll just put down travels because we all travel a lot. Seems like it.
Adversity.
I'm sorry?
I said I'm thankful for adversity. If everybody was all the same, it would be boring.
There you go. Okay, you're thankful for what?
Adversity.
Okay. That is a problem. You had to do that, didn't you? Sorry?
Jonas.
Mechanic, right?
Just write Jonas.
That's much easier. Okay, I think we're going to just stop. We could go on, but... this little exercise was to help us understand that we're not dealing with mud all the time. There is many, many blessings in life if we just stop and think. Somewhere I have written down, if we pause to think, we have cause to thank. I'd like to... go through some of the scriptures and tell us what the Bible tells us to be thankful for. And basically, we're just going to stay in the New Testament. And this is just a partial list. It's not near all of it. If we can, turn to Luke 17. I'm going to read a portion of scripture here. This was the portion where the 10 lepers were healed. I'd like to read chapter 17 of Luke, verse 11 through 19. Verse 11, and it came to pass as he, Jesus, went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, go, show yourself to the priests. And it came to pass as they went that they were cleansed. Now all 10 were cleansed here. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God. And fell down on his feet. And fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God save this stranger. And he said unto him, arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. Have you thanked God this morning for your healing, for your physical healing, for your spiritual healing? You know, one thought I thought about as far as the power over evil spirits this morning in our Sunday school. The thought of, can Christians have that power today? By the grace of God, power of God working in their lives, yes, they can. But do we not cast out the devil in all of us when we come to Christ? I mean, really, that's the bottom line is, the evil spirit leaves and the Spirit of Christ comes in. Have you thanked God this morning for healing? You know, a thankful heart is a joyful heart. Remember, if you will find joy in snow or mud, you will have more joy in your life. Let's remember that. If we don't find joy in snow or mud, we'll have a lot less joy, but the same amount of snow and mud, because it's here. So thank God. A thankful person will be in a position to glorify God and to receive his salvation. Psalms 50, here's an Old Testament scripture that I kind of forgot about it. But Psalms 50, 15 through 23, there's a couple verses here. I'd like to read that. Offer unto God thanksgiving. So give unto God thanksgiving, and pay thy vows unto the Most High, and call upon me in the day of trouble. Now this is God speaking. And I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. But unto the wicked God saith, what hast thou to do to declare my statutes? Or that thou shouldest take my covenant in thy mouth, seeing thou hatest instruction and castest my word behind thee. When thou sawest a thief, then thou consentest with him, and hast been partaker with adulterers. Thou givest thy mouth to evil, and thy tongue frame deceit. Thou sittest and speakest against thy brother. Thou slanderest thine own mother's son. But these things hast thou done, and I kept silence. Thou thoughtest that I was altogether such a one as thyself. Well, I thought there was a... But I will I'll just go on and read this. I will reprove thee and set them in order before my eyes. Now, okay, here it is. Now consider this, ye that forget God, lest I tear you in pieces, and there is none to deliver. Whoso offereth praise glorifieth me. Whoso offereth praise glorifieth God. And to him that ordereth his conversation aright will I show the salvation of God. So this morning, if you want to glorify God, praise God. And he will give you salvation. Praise and thanksgiving are the fruit of our lips, our lives, that will bless God. Hebrews 13:15 says, "By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually." That is the fruit of our lips giving thanks to his name. Praise is a fruit that we give to God, that we offer to God. The sacrifice of praise. You know, we can thank God through for all things. We thank God for all things through the name of Jesus. I have excess mud and rain, drought, sickness, health, friendship, even pain and suffering. Because it teaches us, for one thing, that here we have no continuing city. We look for one to come. You know, when we pray, let's pray in the name of God, the Father, giving honor to our Lord and Master. Ephesians 5:19-20 says, "Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ." 1 Peter 2:19-21 says, "For this is thankworthy, if a man for conscience towards God endure grief, suffering wrongfully. For what glory is it if, when you be buffeted for your faults, ye shall take it patiently? But if, when you do well and suffer for it, ye take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. For even hereunto were you called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow in his steps." God uses pain, suffering. He uses adversity to teach us to walk closer to him. May we thank God for those times. It's not easy. It's not easy to thank God when we're right in the midst of pain and suffering and hardship. But it does tell us here in the scriptures that we give thanks always for all things, because it teaches us. We can praise God for deliverance from sin. Romans 6:17 says, "But God be thanked that you were the servants of sin, but you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you." But God be thanked. You were the servants of sin, but now you serve God. Praise God for deliverance from sin. Praise God for victory, which goes right along with that. You know, in praise God for victory in this life and in the life to come, there's victory. You know, this morning, I'd like to press upon our minds that we cannot claim eternal victory if we don't have victory here. We cannot claim eternal victory if we don't have victory here and now. 1 Corinthians 15:57-58 says, "But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, insomuch as you know that your labor is not in the vain in the Lord." 2 Corinthians 2:14, "Now thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ, and maketh manifest the savor of his knowledge by us in every place." Now, some of these things were mentioned up here. I am not aware that the Bible, the New Testament, the Bible as a whole, will tell us to be thankful for our, that it actually tells us to be thankful for our physical family, our father, mother, brother, sisters. Now, I'll be open with that. I am not aware that it tells us, but it does tell us to be thankful for the brethren in the church, the spiritual brethren. Romans 16:3 is an interesting verse. It says, this was Paul writing. It says, "Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Christ Jesus." Now this is what is interesting. It says, "who have laid down their lives." No, excuse me. "Who have for my life laid down their own necks." You know, it's kind of like put their neck on the chopping block. That's really what it's saying. They kind of went out on a limb for Paul. And he's saying he praises God for the brethren in the church. Over and over again, he says, "I praise God, I thank God for the brethren in Philippi, Ephesians, Corinthians, you name it." It just keeps going. He said, "I thank God for the brethren." So this morning, do you appreciate the brethren in the church that have given of their own lives for my sake? You know, there may be times that that I have needed, and I have needed, some instruction, some encouragement, some rebuke. And it's awfully easy to get to the point where we just don't appreciate people having that input in my life, because it's just kind of grinds against my nature. But Paul is saying here that these brethren have laid down their lives for his sake. Let's be thankful for the brethren, for the interest that they take in our lives, for the concern that they have to and express. Now, another thing that the Bible tells us that will cause thanksgiving in other people is our liberality in sharing materially, whether it's in money or gifts, otherwise, whether it's in our own, you're just going and helping somebody out, a gift of ourselves. It says that it causes the recipient to bring glory to God. 2 Corinthians 9 would tell us this. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. through 15. "Now he that ministers seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food and multiply your seed sown and increase the fruit of your righteousness." Being enriched in everything in all but bountifulness, which causes through us thanksgiving unto God. "For the administration of this service not only supplieth the want of the saints, but is abundant also by many thanksgivings unto God. Whilst by this experiment of this ministration they glorify God for your professed subjection unto the gospel of Christ." Excuse me. "And for your liberal distribution unto them and unto all men. And by their prayer for you, which long after you for the exceeding grace of God in you, thanks be unto God for this his unspeakable gift." You know, there's many a time that you brethren have been a blessing to me, to our family, in your gift of sharing, and whether it's by monetary or whether it's by just bringing firewood, coming over and helping cut up firewood. That was, it's such a blessing. And I hope that somehow I can also bless you by giving. But this morning, when we share our heart, when we share our lives, when we share our possessions, it causes the rest of the brethren to give glory to God because they are thankful. So a question this morning, have you or have I been caused that others have blessed God? You know, if we haven't arrived there yet, we are missing a great blessing from God. If we haven't blessed others, then we are missing anything. Because in blessing others, we are blessed ourselves. The other thing that the Lord was working in my life this week was to have more time for prayer and thanksgiving in my praise and thanksgiving in my prayer. I had to think of Dwayne's devotional here a couple, I don't know, was it Sunday morning or Sunday night or Wednesday, but he was talking about prayer. And he mentioned that in the Lord's Prayer, there is only one phrase, just one phrase, that talks about our daily bread. Give us this day. Give us. The rest of it is all praise to God. And may that be our experience, that we have much more praise and thanksgiving to God than a request for Him to bless us. It's God's desire to bless His children. We don't necessarily need to ask Him to bless us. Yes, He wants to be honored, and He is honored when we commit our lives to Him. But let's not be selfish in our prayers. Let's praise God and allow Him to work in our lives and give more glory to Him instead of having selfish prayers. Philippians 4:4-7 says, "Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." And 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." So this morning, are you a thankful person? Are you a blessing to your brother? Revelation 7:11-12 says, "And all the angels stood round about the throne and about the elders and the four beasts and fell before the throne on their faces and worshiped God, saying, Amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever. Amen." If we want to experience the glories of heaven and bring thanksgiving and praise to our God, world without end, we need to start it here. Let's kneel for prayer.